Investment flash.
Sneaker unwind meets a copper and wheat panic, and bonds are the tell. We're unpacking the tape that has retro sneakers down 28% in a week and wheat at a 52-week high.
I'm Marie, and this is the New York edition for Wednesday, August 26th. With me are Tom and Gerald. Let's get into it.
Dick's Sporting Goods missed profit and sales estimates, slashed its full-year outlook, and the $2.4 billion Foot Locker deal has backfired, down 28% in 1 week.
Yeah, look, the problem is Nike sits 1% above its 52-week low, so the short is chasing a print, not front-running one.
No, but that's exactly my point. The sell-off is already in the tape. Foot Locker's tied to the same retro discounting, and both sources agree. If you're selling now, what's the edge?
The edge is the margin squeeze isn't reversing. Dick's near its low, Foot Locker linked, Nike wholesale pressure. The unwind isn't done.
Tom, buddy, you said the same thing about semis last quarter, six bottoms later.
Fair enough, but this time the guidance cut is real.
Right, and that's the whole story. Retro demand faded, discounting hit, and the cushion is thin. We'd rather watch than chase.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Auto tariffs? Trump threatened 50% on vehicles built in Canada. Detroit automakers are far more exposed than the rest of the country.
Stellantis already trades 58% below its high on 0.23 times book value. The market already distrusts this story.
But a 50% tariff turns a slow bleed into a cliff. GM at 5.8 times Ford earnings, but only 6% below its high. No cushion.
Wait, Ford relies on Canadian assembly too, and it's 22% below its high, not priced for a border cliff. That's the trade to watch.
Canada equities are 1% below their high, so the retaliation hasn't hit the exchange-traded fund flows yet. Classic.
Okay, but the bear case is the tariffs don't happen. This is negotiation. Still, the exposure is structural. Oil fell back on Iran-Oman talks over reopening the Strait of Hormuz. The oil fund has run 86% year-to-date, so the air pocket is real.
Meanwhile, shipping bosses say the Iran war is approaching a Ukraine-style stalemate, keeping freight rates at record highs. Scorpio Tankers is up 50% year-to-date, despite a slip last session.
So the oil fund is unwinding the war premium, but tanker earnings stay intact as long as the stalemate holds. That's a genuine split.
Exactly. One is a diplomatic headline, the other is physical freight. I'd rather own the tanker.
Only Tom could turn a war stalemate into a freight party.
Guilty, but the earnings are record.
Long bonds are the tell today. Citadel's Frank Flight says the short long bond trade is one-sided, and a turnaround could catch investors off guard.
Yeah, look, MarketWatch runs the ugly math on $40 trillion of U.S. debt, arguing heavy supply keeps yields up. That's a genuine split.
The long Treasury fund sits just 2% above its 52-week low. The crowded short unwind and the debt supply bear case are both being priced at the same level.
This is a positioning market, not a fundamentals market. When every macro narrative has a named counterparty, flows dominate.
Citadel warning about the crowd is basically the desk saying the crowd is already late.
Huh, fair enough.
But if the long bond squeeze starts, it's violent from these levels.
And as always, none of this is investment advice. Just three friends reading the tape.
Indonesia's president launched a 100-gigawatt solar program. Nikkei reports no financing details yet, but that's a headline-scale renewables push.
First Solar, at 8.8 times forward earnings and 36% below its high. The news is buying a floor, not a breakout.
Right, and the solar ETF is down this year, despite the demand. So the bar is low, which is exactly why the news matters.
I'd take that floor.
large-scale thin film orders eventually show up.
Eventually. That word is doing a lot of work in solar.
Ugh, that's brutal.
Dallas Fed warns tokenized deposits plus AI agents could strip $700 billion from U.S. banks' lending capacity.
This is the most original take today. The Dallas Fed is first to quantify a danger that most macro coverage misses. Programmable money erodes the depositor moat.
Yeah, look, it's a model output, not observed flow. But the financials ETF sits at its 52-week high. So bank equity is priced for the status quo.
Exactly. The financials ETF at its high, JP Morgan only 3% below its high. The tokenization threat is not priced.
See, this is what I mean. CoinDesk's write-up connects AI agents to bank funding costs in a way the big outlets skipped. That's the gap.
Fair. If that model becomes observed flow, the bank complex has a real air pocket.
Only Gerald could turn a $700 billion warning into an air pocket metaphor.
It's a talent.
FT warns El Nino poses a looming threat to the global food system, and wheat futures are already sniffing it.
The wheat ETF had its 52-week high after a 5.2% pop last session. The agriculture fund within 1% of its high, up 12% year-to-date.
The trade is early, and the weather premium is already being bid in. Chasing the headline without confirmed crop impact is risky.
Right. It's a momentum trade, not a fresh entry. If El Nino hits, the move extends, but you're paying up.
But the trend is your friend until the weather changes. Wheat at highs is a tell. Komatsu will triple its U.S. maintenance hub, citing the AI-driven copper rush. That's a direct infrastructure read on mining capex.
The copper fund is 2% below its 52-week high and up 14.6% year-to-date. The demand story is already in the tape.
Exactly. The equipment supplier expansion is second-order confirmation miners are adding capacity, not just talking about it.
And Komatsu's move is a single-source proxy, but it's a giant one. I like that confirmation.
Confirmation at the highs. Famous last words.
Yeah. Hong Kong lawmaker urges firms to expand into the Middle East, ASEAN, and Central Asia as U.S. visa disruptions raise costs of Western market dependence.
Emerging markets ETF is up 19.5% year-to-date and 6% below its high. Hong Kong equities only 5% higher year-to-date.
So the policy is a tailwind, not a trigger. But the diversification theme is real.
No, but that's exactly my point. Hong Kong equities are 12% above their low, and the visa-driven diversification is supportive but not a near-term earnings catalyst.
And the press is silent on Asian central bank reactions to 3 sessions of dollar strength. That's the actual gap.
Here's our view. Today's tape splits into 2 halves. A consumer cyclical unwind, with DIX down 28% in a week, against a commodity and capex bid, with wheat at highs and copper near highs.
That's not random. Is pricing a retro sneaker fade and a weather and AI capex squeeze at the same time? Bonds sick exactly on the fault line.
And the case against this read is most of it is already in the price. DIX down, Stellantis down, long treasuries near lows, financials at high. Shorts are chasing prints and longs are chasing momentum.
Okay, but the bear case is exactly that. It's all priced. The longs in copper and agriculture are momentum chasing, and a single headline reverses them.
Wait, a single de-escalation in Hormuz or a dovish Fed signal would force the crowded trades to unwind violently. The Citadel warning on long bond shorts is itself the tell. When the desk calls the crowd is already late.
What's missing is any mention of Asian central bank reactions to dollar strength and Canada's retaliation. If the dollar keeps grinding, an EM rate surprise is more likely than any of today's headlines.
The cleanest expression is dispersion. favor the under-owned long bond squeeze against the over-owned bank complex, active over passive.
If tokenized deposits and El Nino become front page next month, today's signals were the early draft.
Exactly.
Nailed it.
And that's the whole story.
If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest. We're back tomorrow's London edition at 7:30 a.m. London time.
Catch you then, everyone.
Try not to chase the copper at the high before they.
No promises.